2, Galatians chapter 2. This book is written to numerous churches in the region of Galatia, northwest of Israel, where modern-day Turkey is today, parts of it. It's a large area. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, Paul is continuing his defense of his legitimacy and the gospel that he preaches, because the primary focus of this early gospel, Paul was the only apostle that was an apostle specifically to the Gentiles. Most of the other apostles were primarily for the Jews, though they would preach to all, but they would still have this very Jewish bent. And it appears that it was much more than a Jewish bent. It was that they had made the gospel a gospel that required you to follow Jewish ways. And so that's the error. We deal with circumcision in this. We'll deal with circumcision as we look at Acts chapter 15. But let's just look at the title of the message, How to Handle Heresy. And so I guess I'll give you a little background. If you just look up the word heresy, it says any teaching that is against Christian orthodoxy. I don't even know what that means. Right? Let me tell you how I use heresy. Heresy would be something that would, first, anything that is contrary to the true gospel would damn your soul. So in its simplicity, I would say that that is the simplest way to view heresy, something that will damn your soul. I expand heresy. So I have five things that I would look for if I were looking for a church. I would ensure, so I'm only going to go to a Baptist church. We can talk about that. But just because they have the Baptist name doesn't mean they're a Baptist church, right? So you have to do some work. So the five things I would look for would be, what gospel do they preach? Do they preach a true gospel that is Christ and Christ alone, right? Secondly, it would be the doctrine of Christ. What do you believe about Christ? What do you teach about Christ? Third, it would be the doctrine of the church or ecclesiology. What do you believe about the church? And I use that word generically. I believe that the only kind of church is a local visible church. That's like saying wet water, but it is the only kind of church that exists is a kind that you can see here. The word ecclesia just means a called out assembly. And you can't have a called out assembly that you can't see and that doesn't assemble. There's no such thing as a universal assembly that doesn't assemble. So the only kind of church that exists is a local visible church, what you would see here. And so, I would want to know what they teach about the church. And then fourth, and it includes two, it'd be their teaching on the ordinances. What they teach about baptism, what they believe about baptism, and what they teach about the Lord's Supper. Those would be critical issues for me that I would want to know as I was seeking out a church. Clearly, I would want to know their position on evangelism. I would want to go to a church that is focused on exalting Christ and reaching souls. And I would want to go to a church that understands there is a separation from the world and we don't have to be worldly to reach the world. And so I mentioned those. Those to me are somewhat givens. They're not, and I think you would understand those, but so, you could call that the doctrine of sanctification. And so we'll talk about that tonight as well. So I want you to understand that. So how to handle heresy within a church setting, and you're going to see this. You remember Paul's passion. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. I just want to show you, this is passion. These are words that make me uncomfortable, and I'm a pretty direct person. I think I'm less direct than I used to be until I meet new people in my life, and they go, "You are so direct." And I'll go, "You should have seen me 20 years ago. And I've come a long way, baby." Maybe I haven't. Maybe I'm delusional and think I have, right? So look at Galatians chapter 1. I feel company with Paul here. Not that I'm saying I'm like Paul at all. And he says, verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or damned." Those are strong words. But what you're going to see you're going to see a man that has a passion for defending the gospel to the level that he says here, someone preaches a false gospel, damning souls to hell, they themselves should be accursed. And I think God agrees with that. And so that just elevates the importance of the gospel. And so, but then you have that kind of passion. How do you address those that are teaching contrary to the doctrine of the Bible, right? So Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Let's read these. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now, so what you have here, look back at chapter 1, verse 18. So Paul gets saved, and after 3 years, it looks like that's when Jesus taught him in some combination of the deserts of Arabia and in Damascus. And then he goes up to Jerusalem. So his first visit to Jerusalem is after he saved 3 years. And he said he only saw Peter and none of the other apostles, save that apostle James. I'm just kidding. Long, long discussion that we had last week. But so he said he only saw Peter and he saw James, the Lord's brother, who would have been the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. Then what you're going to see is 14 years later. So now Paul would be what you would consider a mature man in the Lord. 17 years. Not only did he get direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's been living the ministry of Christ for 17 years. So he's not some just new pup off the streets. He's not a novice, as the Bible would talk about. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I didn't do a great job even when we studied the book of Titus. There's a great, maybe I will do this before I close the book of Galatians. I'll show you all the references to Titus, how important Titus was to Paul. What a great encouragement, what a great blessing. We give Timothy, and Timothy was his son in the faith and was more like-minded than any other man that Paul knew. Titus would have probably been second. Titus was super close to him. I will tell you this, if you have men in your life that are a blessing to you, you are of all men most blessed. Ladies, if you have ladies in your life that'll help you spiritually walk with you, be with you, just in every instance, you are of all women most blessed. It is a rarity, and Paul had two in particular amongst others, right? God blessed him. While Paul had what we would call a difficult life, he also was given some special just gifts of the Lord. Verse 1 again. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. So you'll see in Acts chapter 15 that I'll look at. Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas were sent by the church at Antioch to go to Jerusalem. So that's how we know it's different. It looks like what Paul's talking about here is probably mentioned in Acts chapter 11. We'll look at that in just a second. But the Acts chapter 15 that I'm going to use as an overlay will just help us understand this issue. I'm not saying it's the same thing, which I don't believe it is. So Paul says this in verse 2, I went up by revelation. So God said, go to Jerusalem, Paul. Pretty amazing that in his 17 years of being a believer, that he didn't go to the Christian headquarters of the world, but two times. If you want to understand this, it's like that first church at Jerusalem was massive, and the one that brought havoc and had them get on their job and go to the uttermost parts of the world was Saul, who changed his name to Paul. He's the one that God used in his evil sin to get the church at Jerusalem to do the job that Jesus told him to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So he went up by revelation, and he says this in verse 2, and commanded unto them that that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Not commanded, communicated. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. You're going to love when we cover these verses. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek or a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. So Titus wasn't circumcised. You talk about getting the Jews upset. And so Paul brings this guy, Titus, to Jerusalem, circumcision capital of the world, right? Oh, ye that enter. You know, it's like, so he brings him there. He says, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, which came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We don't speak this way, but you know what Paul's saying? We didn't give them 5 seconds of time. That's what he's saying. Let's read verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. He did not give these false brethren 1 inch. Not listening to you, not going to give you an audience. That's what he's saying there. So you're going to see somehow he deals with the people in verse 2 differently than he deals with these false brethren in verse 4 and 5. And so we're going to have to learn something with that. There's wisdom in this. How do we interact with people when we have major disagreements? We need to do it in love. We need to do it in kindness. But I will tell you one of the things, he didn't give place to false teachers. Didn't say he was a jerk to them, but he didn't give them an audience. He didn't allow them to speak their piece. He didn't allow them to give their perspective. No need. You're wrong. That's good. Be nice about it. Don't be, I'm so forceful. You can't imagine this. I'll just tell you this. You know what makes me realize how forceful I am is poor little Elia. Her parents must be the quietest people in the world, because I'm always like, hey, how you doing? No, hey, hey. Look, nobody jumps here anymore. It's like, I just wish you guys would jump. That's the way I am. Like, hey, ho, hey, hoo, ha. You know, I mean, I'm just that way. So she's sitting on my lap, you know, and I'm like, I mean, I'm just playing high. She's like, no, Papa. So I'm so glad you guys are used to it, and your kids, they'll be better off for it. Nothing will scare them. And I'm not trying to scare you, but man, I didn't realize how scary I must be to new people. Back off. All right. Get back to the Bible. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat. He's distinguishing those between those that had reputation. So there's some that, like, hot to trot. But that's different than the people of reputation. We'll talk that. But of those who seem to be somewhat, let's read the parentheses, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. Now let's read this verse 6 without the parentheses, just to see the flow. But of those who seem to be somewhat, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw, so here's what he did. It's really fascinating. I want you to follow this. The hot shots in the church, usually the hot shots in the church, don't know much. That's the reality. The people that like to be important, they don't know much, right? So it's those that seem to be somewhat. He's like, God doesn't care about that. How did he deal with them? He dealt with them by the leaders who would influence them. So look at verse 6. But of those who seem to be somewhat, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw. So they, Paul did something. Obviously, God revealed this. God was leading him. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. All he's talking about is this. The gospel of the uncircumcision, that God, the ministry God had given Paul was to the Gentiles. That the ministry God had primarily given to Peter was to the Jews. It's not like it was exclusive, but it's primarily, right? When someone is a missionary to Africa, there's probably not going to be very many Jews there, right? Brazil. There's going to be some Jews in Brazil, but not too many. And so it was the primary ministry. So let's look at this. So he's dealing with the somewhats in verse 5 and 6. But contrarywise, when the somewhat saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now let's read the parentheses. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. God was blessing Paul in the same way he was blessing Peter. Verse 9. And when James, he would have been the pastor at the church of Jerusalem, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. I love that. Better than a hug. Amen? They gave them the right hands of fellowship, and they put their reputation on the line, and they said, this is our brother, we agree with him, we'll put our reputation on the line. It was an incredible thing. Paul loved it. God wanted to highlight it. Let's read verse 9 again. These were men that had reputation. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And here's all they ask. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. You have to love that. Don't forget the poor. I'll finish with this, and so it'll make my last point faster, but when we are doctrinally right, we will help people. We won't forget the poor. We won't forget the people that can't help us. We will love them. You guys, you've touched my heart. I'll just give you this testimony. You saw the email with Jade, this woman that just showed up, and she just walked in the building. And Justin and I were having a Bible study on Friday, and she just walked in, and you know, I just think, okay, Justin must need this experience. I don't know what's going on. I said, hey, how are you? And she's from Nigeria, so they speak English there, but it was an accent that I wasn't that familiar with. So, plus, I think I'm getting deaf half the time. I mean, it's like, what? And so, I mean, Justin was basically interpreting for me at times. So she sat down, and you saw the email, and you know, I just, sometimes I sit there, and I'm like, Lord, there's nothing running through my mind how we can help this lady. You know, she wanted a better job, and I sent that email out because I told her I would. And I do love this, and I'll mention names. It doesn't mean that, but it's just this is how God blesses us, right? Stephen James had a lead for her, and who else? Oh, and Clay had a lead for her. I was like, huh. And Clay did as well. And she applied to both of them. She texted me today, super grateful. And I think she gives testimony being a believer. There's apparently a Nigerian church up here on Mac and Gilmore. There's like three or four churches right in that little strip mall there by Covenant Church on the corner. And you know what I love is I knew when she was sitting down, I'm like, I need to help you. Because you're one of these cases. You're never going to come to church here. That's okay. And I'm supposed to help you. Why in the world did you walk in my office? I don't need more. And then I just sent the email out because I was trying to be truthful to her. And then you two just were a blessing to her. If you got other leads, that's good. You know what I love? We have, and I'm just telling you, I the reason I discuss my attitude with you is because I just do. But I do it in some ways because I don't want you to think highly of me. But I want you to understand this, that life is real, and sometimes we should love opportunity more than we do. When she walked through that door, you know, my first thought is, if you're lost, I'm excited. If you're not, the excitement goes down. I told you, somebody asked me, they said, yeah, when I told you I was saved, you seemed to be disappointed. I said, no, I'm so thankful you're saved. But I love this. We got to make sure of this. We need to help people. We need to help people. I will tell you this. I love the Merle and Margaret story. Merle and Margaret are just going to be a couple that God is going to give us an opportunity to serve and say, will you keep doing it? There will be no human payout on that investment. And they are not abusers of us. They really do care. They care about wanting to return the love. I want to make sure that they're saved. I'm not sure about Merle. I told him this morning, I said, I will love introducing myself to you every time. Because he said, oh, and who are you? I said, nobody. And but it brings back memories to me with my dad and his dementia. And we need to love them. I thank you for loving on Merle and Margaret. You see, we're not here to just butter our own bread. We're here to love people, but at first we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me take you over, if you will. I'm going to talk Galatians chapter 2, but can I take you over to Acts chapter? Let me take you over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This tonight, it feels a little bit like, I don't know, a history class. And I hate history messages. Like, boom. Go to FBI for that. No, and the FBI's good. FBI's good, right? I'm here to preach, right? I'm not here to say, well, then, you know, but there's some background I want you to understand here. I want you to look at Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. And this is before Paul and Barnabas were separated unto mission work. And this looks like it is possibly when they went to, I don't know, I'm actually back, and I'm going to just show you this. We'll see. But Acts chapter 11, verse 27 says this. This is the second time Paul's mentioned. It says, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." The more I think about it, it might be, it might not be. But turn to Acts chapter 15. What I want to show you is, I want to show you this, I don't know, it's a council, it's brethren getting together to try to sort out what is true and what is not. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture, but I'll try to give commentary, so when I'm done, we'll be done. And then we'll go to Galatians, and then I'll be able to bullet point what I think, how to handle heresy. Acts chapter 15 deals with this same issue of circumcision. Deals with this issue, do you need to be circumcised to be saved? Is anything needed other than faith in Jesus Christ? The answer is no. The answer is no, and that's what Paul is defending in Galatians. But he has these Jews. It's sort of the closest thing, and I say this, and I can say this on a Sunday night, the closest thing to first century Judaism is Roman Catholicism. I mean, Roman Catholicism is all about, what do I need to do? It's a humongous checklist. If you want a checklist, they'll give you a checklist. And you feel good about it, right? Because you're doing what some guy in a fancy attire says to do. And so who would ever to give their life up to be celibate and do this if it wasn't real? Those are kind of the things that go through people's minds. Because most people never study the Bible. That includes people sitting in Baptist churches. That includes preachers' wives. That includes some preachers. That includes Sunday school teachers. You can teach Sunday school and not know the Bible. I've told you time and time again, most people sitting in church think they know the Bible, but they don't. And because they could never teach it. You ask them to teach the Bible, they're like, well, then you don't know the Bible then. All you have to do is, you have to know one chapter just to teach the Bible. Then the next week you need to know the next one. You probably don't even need to know a chapter. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 15. They're teaching this. And certain men, Acts chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Heresy. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So they go there, and they're saying, you guys won't believe how many Gentiles are being saved, and as true believers will do, they rejoiced. But it looks like they rejoiced thinking, get your knives ready, right? And so, no. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, looks like they're true believers, just have some error, major error. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And they said, we need to talk about this. And so I'm going to even talk about this. What does that look like for us today? Because here's what it would look like for them. It was circumcision was the primary thing they were dealing with. But when it did this, they were including things like this. They would include circumcision. They would include the sacrifices. They would include all the traditions. And they were just, all of a sudden, can you feel the bondage and the weight that says, I'm not free in Christ anymore. I'm under the bondage that it was before, but I think I'm going to heaven now because of Jesus, but now I have to do all these things. You see, we have one command. That's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, it's the second one, but the great commandment is to love the Lord. But you can feel the weight. Let's read verse 5 again. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, the rule keepers, the rule creators, which believed, they believed, I trust that they were Christians, but boy, they were off, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. See, let me just pause there one more time. It is, I am not preaching that you should not obey. Do not misunderstand me tonight. I am not preaching that you should not obey. But I will tell you this, I am not preaching that obedience is the gateway to heaven. It is faith in Christ and Christ alone. Faith in Christ, and that's it. And so, just got to be careful. They seem to be including obedience and following the commandments and circumcision as part of salvation. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, again, the vocal spokesperson, right? Why it's so shocking when Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That would be Acts chapter 10 when Peter went to Cornelius' house and saw this great vision and God sending to Cornelius' house. And then I believe that's the second time the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened. And so he says that. That's what he's talking about here. He said, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts, what? By faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? Amen. This is a good message. To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, I'm going to pause here. Now I'm going to tell you this. We can have this. This isn't Sunday school. So I want you to ponder this and give me your answers after. I might give you my answer right now. Randolph, you are Jew by blood. Should you be circumcised? I think you should. Part of the Abrahamic covenant. Doesn't get you to heaven. But I think if you were Jew by blood, you should get circumcised. Right? Because you just wanted to honor the covenant that God had with Abraham. But if you're not a Jew, there's no covenant with the Gentiles, and it's not necessary for salvation, and circumcision didn't make you closer to getting saved. None of that. It was just a good thing that you would be able to tell your children, why are we doing this? Well, it was God was separating us from the Gentiles. So I didn't really give you guys an opportunity to think what you'd say. Anyway, verse 11. Peter's still speaking, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord, you see this, he's talking about faith and grace, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Amen. You just, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Peter just preached Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 right there. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. So you got to love this then. James goes to the Bible. It's good. But you can abuse the Bible. James goes to the Bible and he says this. Verse 16. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but, and this is important, he's not talking a lawlessness, he's not talking that there is, you shouldn't be concerned about your behavior, but it's not linked to salvation. But he does say this. There's some things that really will help the Gentiles get along with the Jews. And that would be Romans 14 that says we ought to do all things unto the weaker brother. If it'll offend a brother, then we ought to exclude it. But he says here, wherefore my sentence is, verse 19, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. These would be things that would just cause great dissension that, you know, okay, we're not going to have them be circumcised, but just how about this? Can we help our brothers? Can we help our brothers not fall? Verse 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. And so they sent a letter. I will tell you that again, I love the independence of the Lord's churches. That letter didn't have authority. It was a recommendation. and the churches would be wise to follow it. It was a wise counsel. It was wise input. But I want to show you that this was a common issue early in the first century. It was the teaching that circumcision and following of Moses' law was necessary for salvation. Now then what you see is you see religions all over the place. All the Catholic religions, right? Whether it's Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, the Coptic, I mean, you name it. There's so many different Catholic, the word Catholic just means universal, Catholic religions, that they all come from the same spot. Do this, you'll improve your odds. It's faith or bust. That's what the Bible says. So now let's turn back to Galatians chapter 2. I've got five things I want us to see how to handle heresy so that we deal with that, right? So it is, let me just say this. I don't think we had the issue. The number one issue in the 21st century with this outside of Catholicism. So I think it takes a really kind of a basic study of the Bible to realize that Catholicism is wrong. What's amazing to me is when I talk to Roman Catholics, they will agree that there's just no use to talk to Roman Catholics about what's wrong with their church. You know why? They're like, yeah, I know that's bad. Not good. Bad, 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 bad. And I'm like, why do you stay? Well, you know. It is, you know what you gotta do? Preach the gospel. It is, I do not believe it's beneficial to attack their church. I'm telling you, their church is of the devil. If I thought I had Roman Catholics in our service here tonight, I wouldn't say that. So give me a heads up sometimes, too. That does help. But, I mean, I can, you know, it's not like, you know, of all the thousands, I know everyone that's here tonight. But it is, so I'm not here just to pick on Roman Catholics, right? But it is, they will agree nearly, they hardly ever disagree with me. But they are locked into the system. The only thing that's going to break them free is the Word of God. Is the gospel. And so you know what? Stick with the gospel. Preach the gospel. I told you about this funeral. I told the group that we had, you've heard this, but about a man that I had visited half dozen times or more, and he called me, had me come to his house. He gets saved on a Tuesday. He's dead on a Thursday. Well, then his wife asked me to preach the funeral. Well, I didn't know how Roman Catholic this funeral was. I mean, there were nuns and everything there. Like, I think one of his sisters was a nun. Right? And I promise you this, my wife was there. I didn't say one thing anti-Roman Catholic. I mean, I might be an idiot, but I wasn't that night. And so all I did was I preached the gospel. Oh, they were so mad at me. They were infuriated at me. First and only funeral that people were yelling at me. And so I basically had to leave, right? So it was, I did say one thing wrong to one lady, and then it just, she lost it right after. I shouldn't have said it. I said, I'm sorry, you're wrong. And so I shouldn't have said that, okay? So I'm not saying I was perfectly innocent. But all I did is I preached the gospel. I preached the gospel, and Roman Catholics will recognize the difference between the true gospel and what they're being taught. Rest in that. You don't have to attack their religion. Preach the truth of the gospel. The thing that would exist in the 21st century today is salvation by baptism. Don Berger just sent me a note the other day. He's down in Florida. And I've never heard of this term before. I know what it probably means, but I've never heard the term redemptive baptism. Have you ever heard that term before? You've heard that term before. I assume that's just baptismal regeneration, just a fancy name, right? But it was a Baptist preacher that said he believed in redemptive baptism. Which what would it mean? Part of your redemption, right? What's that? Yeah. Wow. Right. And so it is. It's shocking, right? It's shocking. So I would tell you this. It's amazing. You understand where the Church of Christ. So you got Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, Christian Church. They're all the same, all from the same root. They came out of a movement from a man by the name of Alexander Campbell. He was a Baptist. He overemphasized baptism, maybe because some Baptists by this time were underemphasizing baptism as a glorious privilege to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has nothing to do with salvation. So I don't think we ought to minimize it, but I struggle glorifying it. But I think we ought to humbly see the privilege of identifying with Christ and all that baptism represents. I think it's a glorious privilege, so I'm not trying to minimize it in any way, shape, or form, but I think we can be, I don't want to worship it. And so it came out of there, and so I'm telling you, I talked to a young man when I was in Topeka, Kansas. I talked to a young man that was thinking about helping Joshua and Rachel. And so I'm not naming names, but I said, tell me, I promise you this, if I ask you this, it's not a quiz. I love to hear your story, how God saved you. This young lady that came this morning, and I said, do you understand the term? Are you born again? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? She said, oh yes. I said, when did God save you? And she said, about a month ago. And her eyes started watering. And I said, wow. I said, that's glorious. And I got to learn a little bit about it. We're going to try to have one of our ladies teach her, and she wants to learn. I'm excited. I think God may have parachuted a gift to us this morning. But baptism doesn't save, but that's probably if there is something akin to circumcision or the Jewish law today, it's that so many people attach baptism to their salvation. When I asked this young man in Topeka, I said, tell me how you came to know the Lord. I'm telling you, in a 3 to 5 minute discussion, if he said baptism 10 times, I'm low. Maybe he understands the gospel has nothing to do with baptism. I didn't ask him about his baptism. I asked him about his salvation. And so, you know, I want you to understand that that's not what saves you, and I want your hope to be in Christ. See, Christ is rock solid. He's the one that we should have our hope in. Now, five things, and I'm going to get with it because I can see I've just rambled on too long. And so here's what I want you to see in verse 2. Paul is organized in how he's going to do this. He says, look at verse 2. So he goes up to Jerusalem, and I went up by revelation. This is the second time he goes up. Revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. I just want to show you the first thing is communicate and get understanding. You know, sometimes we can overreact. Whoa, horsey. Get the information right. You know, just because somebody comes up and tells you, you know, even the redemptive baptism. You know, if I were down there, I would go to this guy and say, hey, you know, there's some people out there talking about you that you believe that baptism is part of our salvation. And I said, I know he doesn't believe that. So how do you want us to respond to that? And he might say, well, I do. And, you know, that's after they revived you off the floor. But it is, but you know, you want to go. Communicate and understand. Look at this in verse 2. He says, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But he says, but privately to them which were of reputation. Now, what I believe is this, show respect to leadership, meet privately. This is the whole premise of God's word. If you have a sin issue with somebody, you should handle it privately, one-on-one, go to them. Now, if it's between a man and a woman, maybe, you know, so if I had an issue with a woman, I would probably get my wife to go with me. I do not want in our church men confronting women or women confronting men, right? I think we can, men to men, women to women, do it lovingly, do it kindly, do it privately. It ought not to be happening all the time. But we ought to show respect to people. Paul showed respect, and he showed respect unto them which were of reputation. And so they had a reputation. Here's what I believe they would have had a reputation of, that Paul, the Bible mentions this, that they were probably God-fearing, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Those would have been some of the criteria that Acts chapter 6 would say of deacons, and those of reputation, I think Paul would say, I'm going to go talk to these guys, and we're going to make sure we're on the same page. So he says this is very interesting, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So if Paul had gone off just loosey-goosey, and began to insinuate that these men that people held in great respect, that and that Paul, I think that they agreed, if he goes and he's just like a loose cannon, then it would cause problems for his ministry. And he says this, I needed to do this. I needed to meet with them privately, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So all the work that I've done could be for naught. You see, Paul was saying this, I needed to be prayerfully measured and thoughtful about how to approach this issue that he was super passionate about, and he should be super passionate about. What happens when you're passionate? Okay, what happens when I'm passionate? I get louder, more forceful, and what's the next word? Mean. That's not like Christ. You understand that? I have to catch myself and apologize, tuck my tail between my legs and say, would you forgive me? I am sinning right now. And we've got to do that. We have to do that. It is, but Paul said he was going to meet privately with them that were of reputation of the Lord, so that he did not cause problems with the work that he had already done. Great wisdom there. Third thing, give no place to false teachers. I will tell you, if I thought Nassim was a false teacher, you don't get another week. You're out. You get another week. So just so you know, I wasn't trying to give you a subliminal message here. And so, Nassim, he's young. He's young in the Lord, and this is part of his training. So I might have a little bit more leeway. So don't worry about that. Say, what are the top five things that you are worried about? But no. So for a young believer, you're going to make mistakes, and just like I make mistakes too, right? But you guys should lovingly confront me. Or if you think I said something, and let's talk about it, right? Let's talk about it. I mean, I don't know how many people said, did you know what last name you gave after Lee this morning? Praise the Lord. But I'm going to seed some error here sometimes, see if anybody mentions that. You'll mention the Lee Kincaid mistake. No, I love that because I want it to be respectful to Sister Kincaid. So it's good. If I say something that confuses you, I want you to talk to me about it. I know this. I come across as an abominable snowman, but I am very movable, and I tell you this, I love discussing the Word of God, and you can tell me, back off, Tonto, right? You can, that probably is politically incorrect, right? But, I mean, you know, I go back to Lone Ranger, right? But I want you to know the Bible. I will mix up my words sometimes, just like Lee Kincaid versus Lee McIntosh. Maybe I said something that I didn't mean to say. I want your help, and I'll come in the pulpit and say, you know, I was wrong. More than anything, if I have a bad spirit, having a bad spirit in this pulpit is inappropriate, and there's no place for it. Not only do the words need to be correct, but the spirit needs to be right. I need to have the right spirit, and I need your help with that. I want you to pray for me. Beg God that he will overcome me, and that I will have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is gentle. The Spirit of Christ is loving. The Spirit of Christ is kind. And most of those descriptions would not come with me, and that's terrible. It's not good. It's not good. We may like Clint Eastwood, and but there's no place for that in Christianity. It's we should humble ourselves. And you know this, give no place to false teachers. They never give an audience, and it's done. I pray this would never happen, but if somebody actually got up in this pulpit and they were preaching, I'm cutting them off right then. I'll be like, all right, hey, our service is done right now. I'm not going to try to make a scene. I'm not going to even do that. I'll say, our service is done right now. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's pray. I hope I never do that, but I will do that. I'm not going to let some on major issues. You follow me? Major issues. So I told you one time, you know, whenever missionaries come in, I always let them know, hey, you know, we're one of those that we just want the men to speak, right? And boy, lo and behold, the only one I never told, she gets up here, man, she's passionate. She's passionate. It's good for me. It's good for me. You guys handle it better than I did. I didn't say a thing. See, that would have been inappropriate. It could have hurt her. You follow me? And so that's not one of the major issues. You follow me with that? And I love the way you responded that night. It was so good. Loved them. I never mentioned it to them. It just, you know, I didn't know them well enough to say, I didn't, you know how young these people are, right? It's just if they thought they offended us, and they didn't offend us. It's just, it's what we believe the Bible would say. But it's not heresy. You follow me? That's not heresy. But false teachers, give them no place. Be nice about it. Be nice about it. But then I want you to see this. It is that the seek godly alignment with key leaders. seek godly alignment with key leaders. I want to show you this. I love the wisdom of God's word and the wisdom that God gave Paul. So, the hot shots here. How do you deal with the hot shots? I love this. You know, I love this because God teaches me. I don't have to confront them. You know, what you do is you help them. But look at this. Just look at verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, skip the parentheses, we know what that says. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. They seem to be somewhat, but they weren't to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, skip the parentheses, and when James, Cephas, and John, I'm not saying the parentheses aren't important, but it helps just to stay in context. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen and they into the circumcision, only that we should remember the poor. What he did is this. The hot shots don't know much. That's probably not the time to teach them deep doctrinal truth, right? But what he said is, the hot shots care about the leaders. Let's have the leaders show demonstration, communication of this truth, that the gospel is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Nothing else added to it. Not baptism, not circumcision, not following the law, not the sacrifices, nothing else. It's Christ and Christ alone, his work. Everything about salvation should be glory to Christ, should lift up Christ, should exalt Christ, and all these other things are secondary to the glorious work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And so, do you see the wisdom there? Do you see the wisdom there? There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? And the wisdom was not trying to say then, well, guys, let me help you understand this. So, I don't know where you'd start. Where would you start for people that are thinking circumcision is necessary for salvation? James, that's your problem. This ain't my church. So, I want them to believe that you know what you're talking about. Then, James, you got some teaching to do. Right? If I'm the pastor there, I'm like, yeah, these guys don't understand that. Then James, the pastor, and other elders that were at that church, they could teach the people. You follow me? So don't put too much on your shoulders. Ask the Lord for wisdom. He will give you wisdom. Do you pray for it every day? You ask the Lord for wisdom? I'm telling you, if you don't, you're missing it. You're missing it. He said he'll give it liberally, generously. You know, I'm telling you, there's only a few spots in Scripture that talk that way. He talks that way in Malachi about giving financially, that he'll open up the windows of heaven. And he talks about wisdom, that he just gives it liberally, kind of sloppily. Nothing sloppy about God. But he does it in such a way that's like, okay. I don't need any more wisdom. I don't think I'll ever say that, but he'll just overwhelm you with it. And when you get wisdom from God, I want you to recognize it, and I want you to go, thank you for that, because you are good. It's good to watch the Lord deliver. It's good. Then the final thing, I mentioned it, so my final point's short. Doctrine should always lead to the care of others. True doctrine. True doctrine should. And so, I want you to know this, how to handle heresy. You didn't see Paul losing his cool here. I mean, he was sure passionate. He said, anybody that preaches any other gospel, which is not another gospel, let him be accursed. You don't get stronger language in the Bible. Maybe Jesus, when he said, you know, you shall die in your sins, that's about the same. When Jesus said, you know, no greater damnation hath anyone but you, when he talked to the Pharisees, that's about the same. When he looked at the Pharisees for attributing his mighty works that were driven by the Holy Ghost to Beelzebub, and he said, you know, all sin will be forgiven. Everything said against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be. That's about as strong as what Paul said. But he stayed in control. Do you love that? Be passionate. Be zealous. But under the control of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? We ought to stand for truth. And I'm telling you this, I know you love me. But it doesn't mean I can't be wrong. It doesn't mean I haven't been wrong. I am wrong. And we need each other. I happen to be the under-shepherd of the Lord. But I need you. I need your help. Final thought, I need your help. I always wonder. I love you. I love this church. I think we're ready. I think we're ready for great things. You know, I will wait for you. How much longer? So I think we're ready for great things of the Lord. And so I always examine things. And I believe it starts at leadership. Maybe you need to help me more. I don't want to be the barrier to God doing great things. I want to be a conduit. I want to be the, I love you. I believe this. It's His will that we would bear much fruit. And I worry. I need your help. Please don't get, sometimes I do want to intimidate people. I don't want to intimidate you. I need your help. And love me. Pray about it. Bathe it in prayer. And then approach me. And I hope, by God's grace, I know I've got a lot of work to do. Let's work together. Let's not let this happen. I don't think we're at risk of this today, but you need to be aware of these things. I won't always be here, and maybe I'll go goofy someday. You need to make sure that you don't allow this church to go goofy. If the preacher goes goofy, and the preacher doesn't get right, get rid of the preacher. And the church is more important than the preacher. Make sure you understand that. It's the Lord receive glory through His church, not the pastors. Father, I thank you for this passage.